This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Kirsten Mueller, Election Security Chair for the League of Women Voters of Washington. Kirsten Mueller is here to evaluate the security of Washington state elections and to make recommendations about how our election security can be improved. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Would you begin by saying a few words about the League of Women Voters of Washington?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So the League of Women Voters is a not-for-profit and nonpartisan organization that encourages active and informed participation in government. So the League acts in support of or in opposition to issues that we have studied. And we're one of the largest organizations, both in the state and in the country, dedicated to a campaign of making democracy work. So we wear a couple of hats. One hat is voter services. So this is registering people to vote, conducting candidate forums. But the other hat we wear is advocacy. And this is things like electoral reforms, the environment, gun safety, just to name a few.
What is election security? What is the League's definition?
So if we're taking the 30,000-foot approach to defining election security, we're wanting to make sure that every vote is counted and that every vote is counted as cast. To go back a little bit to how the League operates, when we study an issue, usually we put several years into studying both sides before arriving at a position. And with election security, our position is that voting systems should be secure, accurate, recountable, auditable, and transparent. We also have a position that voters should have a voter-verified paper ballot or record that is a representation that can be used for audits and recounts. And we also have a position that no aspect of the voting system should be connected to the internet. So when the League is talking about election security, that's the foundation that we're operating from.
Overall, how secure are Washington state elections? To what extent can we rely on the accuracy of the vote totals reported by election officials?
So I want to kind of approach this from the perspective of what Washington is doing right, but then also where we have room for improvement. So a lot of reports that are coming out nationally have a similar message, and that is that the best way to secure an election is to use paper ballots, and that way we have a record of all the votes, but then also to perform statistically based post-election audits of the ballots. And this is to check for any errors or possible hacking. So if we take those two principles and apply them to Washington, Washington is a vote-by-mail state. So pretty much most voters are returning their ballots over mail, drop boxes, in person, which is great. But there is an exception to that, and that is with the practice of email ballot return. It's a common misperception that this is limited to voters who are overseas or service or military, but in fact, that's not the case. It is available to any voter in Washington. So that's definitely an area for concern, email ballot return. And that's an area where we're not meeting the paper ballot criteria. And then looking at post-election audits, a lot of times when folks hear the word audit, their eyes kind of glaze over. But in the arena of elections, this is actually really exciting and really important. So after votes are counted, there needs to be a way to check that the election outcome is correct, that the tabulation machines did their job, and that's where the audit comes in. And so currently in Washington, the auditors or the election directors are performing a couple different types of audits. They're doing what are called logic and accuracy tests. And this is where they're basically checking the equipment that it's counting accurately with test ballots. And then also during the actual election, they are doing what they call a random machine audit. And this is where they're checking to make sure that during the actual counting process via a hand count that the machines are tabulating correctly. So it's great. Washington's doing both of those. But these audits are just a snapshot in time. They're not looking at the entire election. And so we have some exciting news ahead of us in Washington that in 2019, our state is going to have the capability of performing what are called risk-limiting audits. And these are described as the gold standard because through a random sample of ballots, it will give us either high statistical confidence that the outcome of the election is correct, or it'll correct the outcome if it was actually wrong. And so This is definitely an area to keep a close eye on in the coming months, and also an area of improvement for Washington.
How does Washington State compare with other states in the U.S. in regard to election security?
So one report that does a great job of comparing the states was put out by the Center for American Progress, and it's titled Election Security in All 50 States. This report evaluates paper ballots, post-election audits, reconciliation reports, a whole bunch of other elements of running an election. So in this report, Washington State received a grade of C. So it graded states, you know, through the A through F grading scale. The states that performed better than Washington have more robust post-election audits. These states include New Mexico, Rhode Island, Colorado, along with eight others. And again, there is the issue of email ballot return in Washington that also affected our grade. And when talking about email ballot return, no other state is as lenient as Washington. No other state allows all voters to utilize this ballot return method. And in fact, 19 states don't allow for any email ballot return. And the states that do allow for it limit it to very specific circumstances. The states that received grades of D and F on the report include 14 states that either completely lack a paper ballot throughout the state or in part of the state. And unfortunately, with these states, if there's no paper ballot, there's nothing to audit. So those states have a lot of work to do.
Well, you've been alluding to this, but what policies are currently in place to keep Washington State elections secure?
Washington has a number of policies in place to keep elections secure. The fact that Washington is mostly paper-based is a really important policy that's been in place for quite a long time, decades. And the fact that we are performing equipment checks and logic and accuracy testing is really important. There was recent legislation passed that requires voting system vendors to report any breaches to the Secretary of State, whether the breach involves elections directly or voters' personal information. This law allows the Secretary of State to use their discretion about whether to decertify that voting system and vendor. In addition, Washington has excellent, excellent election reconciliation reports. So these are what account for all the ballots, why ballots were rejected, how ballots are received. And these reports are really detailed. They have dozens of criteria. And to my knowledge, no other state really comes close. And so these are just a couple of ways that Washington already has policies in place that help to maintain election security.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Kirsten Mueller, Election Security Chair for the League of Women Voters of Washington. Our topic is the security of Washington state elections and how election security can be improved. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. What steps are currently being taken by government officials to make Washington state elections more secure?
Our state is taking action in quite a few ways. The Department of Homeland Security has offered states free risk vulnerability assessments as well as cybersecurity resilience reviews, and Washington has said that they will be participating in those. The state is also going to be working with the Air National Guard to assess for vulnerabilities. So it's leading the way as one of the states taking advantage of those services. Recently, the Election Assistance Commission has released federal funds that states can use specifically for election security, cybersecurity, post-election audits, and Washington will be receiving over $8 million in this area. From what I've learned, the Secretary of State's office plans to use a large portion of these funds to set up permanent cybersecurity positions within their office that can assist counties with implementing best practices. There's also an area where election officials in Washington are participating in what's called MSISAC, and that stands for Multi-State Information Sharing. And so that's going to allow for increased information sharing around cybersecurity prevention, protection, response, and recovery, as well as EIISAC, which is more election-specific threat intelligence. So there are many ways that Washington is taking on the challenge of cybersecurity in elections.
How likely a target is Washington State for hacking of elections by outsiders?
You know, I think that's a really difficult question to answer. The fact that we have a lot of safeguards in place, being mostly paper-based and having post-election audits, I think makes us less of a target. than some other states, which are entirely reliant upon voting machines that don't produce a paper record. But then as far as some other areas go, it's hard to really know what an outsider would want to attack in a Washington election. You know, is there a certain race they're focused on? And how would that race outcome benefit them? There's a lot that goes into weighing that.
Would you say just a few words about the evidence for hacking of state election systems overall?
From what's been released, quite a few states had their systems scanned. And so I've heard this described as somebody knocking on the door and jingling the doorknob to see if it's unlocked. And I believe they have said that around 21 states had that happen, with one state actually being in some way breached. As far as actual vote totals being changed, to my knowledge, there's been no reports of that. But there's also the angle to look at where has anybody really actually looked. So a lot of these machines haven't undergone, you know, a full cybersecurity review of their software to look and see if there was any malware on the machines. And so, yes, there's no evidence, but have we really checked for the evidence?
What are the key threats to election security in Washington state? In what ways are we most vulnerable?
So I'd like to dive in a little bit more about the concern with returning a ballot over email. To start with, email is not encrypted. So that's why folks always say never send important personal information such as credit card information or social security numbers. And so when a voted ballot gets attached to an email, there's a few ways that things can go wrong. There could be malware on a voter's computer. There could be malware in their email client. As the vote gets transmitted over the internet, there could be what are called man-in-the-middle attacks. And these are actually really scary because there would be no way for the voter to know or for the election official to know if a ballot was manipulated in transit. There's also the additional issue that attached ballot files can carry malware. And so in particular, with the PDF file type, when an election official clicks on that email ballot attachment and it's downloaded onto their computer, that malware can then spread onto the network. And some counties, I have learned, do not isolate their election computer network where they're downloading these ballots from other parts of their county network. So in theory, downloaded malware could spread to other parts of the county. One of the pieces of advice that Department of Homeland Security provides is that election officials should never click on links or downloads from untrusted email addresses. But unfortunately, with email ballot return, that practice happens thousands of times each election.
To what extent do Washingtonians vote by email? How widespread is it actually?
So it depends on which election you're looking at. For a fairly large election, let's take, for example, the November 2016 election. I believe it was over 17,000 voters returned their ballot via email attachment. And as far as separating out which ones were in-state versus overseas and military, I believe that's detailed on the reconciliation reports. It's all broken down. So if you're looking at it from the big picture of percentages, I believe, you know, well over, I want to say 98% of voters in Washington are voting via paper ballot, with a small percentage voting via email.
What are the key reasons that someone would choose to vote by email?
Well, I think, you know, on the one hand, email offers a high level of accessibility for voting. And so if you're in a situation where, you know, you've waited to the last minute and you need to get your ballot sent out, you know, email's right there. It's on your computer. You can send it out. So I can see that it is, you know, a hugely accessible means of voting. But then that also needs to be weighed with the security standpoint. And so is that accessibility really something that's acceptable when the security risk is so high?
Is there some way to make the email voting more reliable? Because there are the overseas military who may rely on email.
There's a few different ways to look at this. So back in 2010, there was the Federal MOVE Act, which requires that all states provide overseas military service voters with their ballot 45 days prior to an election. And then in Washington in particular, we allow for those ballots to be counted if they are received up until the day before certification. And so as long as they're signed or postmarked by Election Day. And so for a lot of these folks, that can give a 50 to 65 day window for returning a ballot via mail. So there is a pretty large, window there to operate from. Another thing to consider, too, is that there was a study recently done by the military where most ballots mailed from major military bases around the world can be returned on average of 2 to 4 days. And so when we're talking about the need for email, I think there are a lot of other acceptable ways of returning a ballot quickly in this day and age.
Would you just underscore the rules for returning email ballots?
Sure. So in Washington State, if you are a military service overseas voter and you've signed up as such through your county auditor or election director's office, then you can return your ballot via email attachment with no other criteria. If you are an in-state voter and you return your ballot over email, you also have the additional criteria of needing to mail in your physical paper ballot in order for your vote to count. So it's a little bit interesting, the requirement for the paper ballot for in-state voters, in that the paper ballot is never compared to the email ballot because the law requires to maintain voter privacy, voter anonymity. They don't want them compared. So you can't tell if what was sent via email is the same as what's on the paper. The other issue is that with the paper ballot, in Washington, the law is the first ballot that is received is the ballot that's counted. And so for email ballot return, it's going to be the email ballot that's counted. The paper ballot serves no role to provide security. It's not functioning as the actual vote.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Kirsten Mueller, Election Security Chair for the League of Women Voters of Washington. Our topic is the security of Washington state elections and how election security can be improved. In terms of security and email, just how easy is it to hack an email that's going to the election office?
So there's a few different ways that it can happen. So let's talk about one way that the League of Women Voters demonstrated back at a meeting that we organized with the Office of the Secretary of State, legislators, aides, where we showed a method, I believe it's called an SMTP hack. And so this is where, through somebody's email client, malware can be installed to change how that email exits the client and travels across the internet. And so a malicious hacker or somebody can basically route the email to go through their server, which can then change a ballot before it heads along to the election official. And so this is one of those types of attacks where the voter looking at their sent email would see their intact ballot looking completely normal as they filled it out. But in fact, the ballot received by the election official would look entirely different. There are lots of different types of email attacks that would require quite a lot of effort and time to pull off. And then there are quite a few that are easier, things like denial of service attacks, where it would be hard for somebody to send in their email ballot if the email address of the election officials is being hit really hard. Really, quite a number of different ways an attack can be mastered.
Are there additional threats to Washington state election security besides email voting?
Just to speak about it from a security concern standpoint, there is variability in cybersecurity practices county to county. And I think that can be viewed as a security concern. It's often stated that a secure system is only secure as its weakest link. And I think the Office of the Secretary of State is in progress with taking a number of steps to address these concerns. Recently, during an annual election officials conference, they spent an entire day focusing on cybersecurity changes that can be implemented immediately by election officials. And also the plan that's in the works to incorporate in-house cybersecurity positions available to help counties who may not have the resources for in-house IT staff or cybersecurity professionals. I think this is really going to make a difference for implementing best practices statewide, as well as, being consistent, and it'll be a really important improvement.
So what are your recommendations for making Washington State elections more secure? What are the most important steps to take?
Ideally, we should have a voter-verified paper ballot on record for all voters. And to speak to this a little bit more, there are close elections all the time. If we think back to 2004, Rossi Gregoire, this is an election that came down to somewhere around 100 votes. And during that election, they had the paper. Everybody voted on paper. So we were able to be confident in the ultimate outcome. If we think about today, where tens of thousands of votes are possibly being sent over email, we might not have that confidence in a close race if, you know, a lot of these ballots are being exposed to the internet. And so, you know, if at all possible, if you have the option, choose to use a paper ballot. I would also advocate that people talk to their county auditors about the option to perform risk-limiting audits, which are going to start to be piloted in 2019. So this type of audit can catch and correct incorrect election outcomes, which other audits are not designed to do. They're also designed to be cost-effective and efficient, and people can advocate that their county participate. And if they're not participating, why not? What are the barriers, and how can we help to problem solve those barriers? Just to really nail this home, states can spend millions and millions of dollars buying different types of voting equipment, installing the best firewalls, putting up new monitoring systems. And much of this is necessary and logical, but there's always going to be vulnerabilities. No system can ever be 100% secure. It's just not possible. But the thing is that systems that utilize paper ballots and risk-limiting audits allow for election officials to not only catch errors or hacks or any sort of malicious tampering, but it also allows them to recover quickly. So these two elements are absolutely necessary, regardless of the other safeguards that we put in place.
In regard to the email, are there steps being taken to limit the use of email voting?
To my knowledge, the Secretary of State's office is currently talking about this. I am not aware of what action they're going to take, but I know it is a topic that they are aware of and working to address.
How can listeners get involved if they are interested in election security?
So I would recommend going to our website, lwvwa.org, and from there you can sign up for our newsletter. You can also find our contact information if you want to reach out with specific questions. This is a topic we're highly passionate about, and we welcome others looking to get involved.
So how did you become involved in security issues with the League of Women Voters?
Honestly, I come from a background of not being an advocate at all. I was not participating outside of voting and really didn't have an issue that I was passionate about to get involved. But in the aftermath of the 2016 election and all of the events that surrounded the recounts in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, I began to realize there was a real problem that when election outcomes are basically not trusted, we were incredibly inefficient and costly in pursuing recounts. And right around that time, there was an article that came out in USA Today, put out by a couple of statisticians, that talked about how risk-limiting audits could be a solution to giving people more confidence in our elections while also being cost-effective and efficient. So after reading this, I reached out to the League of Women Voters of Washington, as they already had an in-depth report exactly on that topic published back in 2009. And so the League basically took me under their umbrella, and they have been great in getting the word out and educating others and advocating in this area in the state legislature.
In addition to election security, where else is the League focusing its efforts?
This past legislative session, there were a whole handful of great bills that passed, but there were a few that didn't pass that we are still working on. So one of those is campaign finance reform. And so with this bill, we're hoping to show which people or corporations are behind political spending. Right now in Washington, political action committees can hide behind political action committees. So when you see a commercial on the TV and it says paid for by a certain PAC, well, this would change it so that the actual individuals or the corporations would need to be shown as the payers and not another political action committee. Another area we're working on is the revolving door in the legislature. And this is where currently legislators can retire from the House or the Senate and immediately become a paid lobbyist and come right back and start lobbying those who maybe they were just, you know, the supervisor or the boss of previously. So we want to close this revolving door and tighten up those rules. We are also working on alternative voting methods legislation. And so this includes things like ranked choice voting, instant runoff voting, other methods such as star voting, and giving more localities the option to incorporate those should they desire. We are also interested in pursuing more public financing of elections in Washington, kind of building off of the model that Seattle set.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Elections are absolutely the backbone of our democracy. So get out there and vote. This is especially true for young folks, because it's generally thought that young folks, you know, are active in demonstrating and making their opinion known on social media, but that it doesn't translate into a vote. And so a lot of elected officials don't necessarily listen to the position of younger people. But young people do truly have a powerful voice for change if they vote. And so also I would say get involved in the league. We work on a lot of different issues. If you're frustrated, getting involved with the league can be very therapeutic.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Kirsten.
Thank you, Diane.
You were just listening to Kirsten Mueller, Election Security Chair for the League of Women Voters of Washington. For more information, check on the web at lwvwa.org. Don't forget to return your ballot for the primary elections in Washington State by Tuesday, August 7th. The deadline is Tuesday, August 7th. And for the first time, you don't even need a stamp. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to the podcast section of KEXP's website at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and at kexp.org.